The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And we have made it to Monday. Well, actually, we've been on Monday for a couple of hours now, but glad you're with us. We've made it to a new week. We're in the middle of May. A lot happening. And over the weekend, the president of the NCAA did a flip and a flop that would rival anything you've seen in the Olympics. How about this? Have you heard about Mark Emmert doing a 180 or a 360? Or I don't even know what the right word to describe what he has done. He told the New York Times that he is going to push to let athletes cash in. Ooh, how about that? Can you believe it? We'll talk to the man who did the interview with him in a few minutes, Alan Blinder of the New York Times. Mark Richt, former Miami coach and Georgia coach. Have you heard this quote? He said, when I was playing college football, my priorities were girls, football, and then school. Now it's going to be money, girls, football, and school. Matt Fortuna said, I did not expect to wake up and read those words from Mark Richt, of all places, in the New York Times. Well, when we left you last, don't forget, Rick will be here in 90 minutes. When we left you last, Jimbo and Nick Saban were having a long distance run around. And yeah, we've already seen that. But the story that keeps going back and forth between Saban and Jimbo is very entertaining and very interesting. And we will talk more about that throughout the program today. Is the honeymoon over for Dan Mullen? Is that possible? Well, our guest later in the show has some opinions on that, the one and only Buddy Martin. And we will talk about that a little bit later on. Speaking of the Gators, have you seen the breaking news from Jacksonville? Tim Tebow is coming back to football. Tim Tebow is going to play for the Jags after all, according to multiple reports right now. They say that Tebow will sign a contract shortly with the Jacksonville Jaguars. This according to Ian Rappaport. He broke the story 2 weeks ago and he's breaking the story again today. We don't know much about it. Apparently it's a one-year deal. And it could be made official shortly, but it looks like Tim Tebow is finally going back to pro football. He has not played a down, a legitimate down in the NFL since the 12 season when he was with the Jets. In 13, he tried out for the Patriots, did not make it. In 15, he tried out for the Eagles and did not make it to the first game. He has played baseball in between other than being an SEC Network host and analyst. So we'll have more on the Tebow story a little bit later on from a writer in Jacksonville. And anyway, there's a couple of new developments in the coaching world. Buffalo has hired away a Harbaugh assistant. That's always news when a Harbaugh assistant leaves, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Anyway, Barry Alvarez just doesn't know when to go away. He has a new job. Barry Alvarez has retired. How many times has he retired? Retired as a coach, came back, has retired as an AD. Now he's going to work for the Big Ten. And look forward to that. And finally, 100% capacity at Arkansas and Tennessee in baseball. Many of the SEC schools have already had that. And now Tennessee will join the party as they are having one of their best baseball seasons in many, many years. What are we going to do on the program today? We're going to talk to Alan Blinder in a couple of minutes. He's with the New York Times. He broke the story on Saturday that Mark Emmert is now finally giving the green light for the NIL. Well, that would be a big story. Mark Richt, the aforementioned Georgia coach, will join us on his opinion on NIL, and you can imagine what it's going to be. Matt Hayes, who does a talk show in Jacksonville, will get his take on Jimbo, Saban, and as well as the late breaking news on Tebow, and the same for Buddy Martin, who wrote about Dan Mullen. But I want to get Buddy's reaction to Tebow mania in the state of Florida. We talked to Buddy the day the story came out, and we'll talk to him again. Let's get your reaction to all of those stories at 855-242-9494. 7285. It's a busy Monday, as you can tell. Probably the biggest story of the last hour is Tebow. It had been rumored. No one was 100% sure, although it certainly felt like that story coming out on the day of the draft meant that some serious conversations had already taken place. Remember, we told you that Urban Meyer moved three doors down from Tebow. They're already like father and son. The GM of the Jags lives around the corner. So this was not something hatched up overnight. So it looks like Tim Tebow is going back to the NFL. Let's get some reaction to all of that and more. And we begin our phone calls with Buff, who is in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Buff. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Man, that's great news about Tim Tebow. I love Tim Tebow. I'm an Alabama fan, but I always loved Tim Tebow. I was actually calling in about the Dan Mullins. I didn't really hadn't heard all that about what.
Well,
Florida.
It's more of a headline. It's a column that Buddy Martin wrote, and we've talked about it before. Dan Mullen had, not to quote Dickens, but probably the best of times and the worst of times last year. He got to the championship game, but there was also a lot of negativity. I'll let Buddy explain his opinion a little bit later on, but I think Dan Mullen is in good shape, except maybe some of the shine has gone off.
Okay, great, man. It's good to talk to you, Paul. Appreciate it.
You got it. Great to have you on, and Tom is up next. Hey, Tom, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
How are you?
I am doing fine. I appreciate you calling.
Yes, sir. Been a long time since I've called. Quick question. Can you elaborate on what's going on with the transfer portal as far as allowing players to transfer within their conference?
It's a good question, and the timing of your question is exquisite because I think those decisions are going to be made here in the next few weeks. It's interesting that Alabama picked up the player from Tennessee, Toto, over the weekend, one of the best linebackers in the country. Tennessee has lost some really great players to Oklahoma and now Alabama. And I'm just giving you an opinion here, but it's hard for me to believe that he would have gone to Alabama over Ohio State if he was not led to believe he will be eligible immediately. And that's a decision, remember, Commissioner Sankey told us the other day that they were meeting on. I think a final determination will come within the next week to 3 weeks. I'm not sure the exact timetable, but it seems like the SEC is going to join. It seems. This is just an opinion. It seems like they're going to join everyone else here in the next few weeks by taking down that barrier.
So even though he has decided to transfer from Alabama prior to that decision being made, after that decision is made, that is what will stand for him, correct?
Yeah, he is not eligible yet he will not be eligible to play until they pass that legislation.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. We're up against a break. More to come here as we roll on a busy, busy Monday afternoon. 855-242-7285 is our number, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And this is the week of the women's softball tournament, and it all begins right here tomorrow night, 7 p.m., and it lasts all week. And obviously the best league in the country getting ready for softball, baseball in 2 weeks. And we're back, and we mentioned the big story at the top of the program that Tim Tebow reportedly, that means it has not been announced yet, but it is highly believed, is on the verge of signing a one-year tight end deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It will be the first time he has played football since the 12 season, although he was with two different teams in 13 and in 15. Let's get back to the calls, get some reaction to that and other stories. And Jeff is up next in Florida. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. I'm Tallahassee, by the way.
Great. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I won't say grown-up hero, grown-up zero. I had a kickoff return that avoided the worst-ever record in my high school history the year I graduated, but long-time Tebow fan. I think it'll be worth it, just the price for the tickets just to go see Tim play, and thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you very much. I think a lot of people agree with you on that. Robbie is up next. Hey, Robbie, what's
hey,
on your mind?
How are you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Great. Yes, just wanted to comment on the Tebow story as well. I mean, as you, I've loved watching him play my whole life. And some guys, you know, despite his in addition to his athleticism and strength and, you know, things that he brings to a team, it's not only physical ability, it's leadership. Obviously, he knows Coach Urban Meyer well, and I'm a Tebow fan, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when I heard this story on draft day, all for Tim Tebow, but it's also Trevor's time. And I guess I'm just a little, not concerned, but just maybe a little concerned for Trevor because it's his time, you know. And all respect to Tebow and the energy and publicity that he brings, which could help Trevor. You know, it could be a good distraction for him so he can focus on, you know, the playbook or doing what he needs to do as a player. But you know, I'm 90% in favor of it. I guess there was a piece of me that, you know, Tebow's kind of had his time, but he could be an addition to the team. So I wish the best for him and also Trevor. So
yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. There's going to be controversy over this. There are a lot of people who don't think it's a good idea. I think most of us that we've heard from so far here do. But there'll be some pundits who throw up a lot of stuff that is typical of punditry. Let's check out Robbie, who is in Georgia. Hello, Robbie.
Oh, hey, Paul, how you doing?
Robbie, we're doing great.
I just want to call in and say, talk about that Tim Tebow coming possibly back to the NFL. I think that's a great idea for him, you know. But I like what you were saying about Trevor Lawrence. I think it's his time right now.
Well, it is his time, and don't forget, I mean, he was just drafted first in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, Tebow is going to, I say this with a great deal of experience, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, when you're in the gravity of Tim Tebow, he is going to grab a lot of attention. But, you know, I don't think Trevor Lawrence really cares, and I don't think it really makes any difference whether the media is fascinated with debating Tim Tebow. He has a specific purpose. He's no threat to Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback. And, you know, could he help him? Absolutely. I'm sure Trevor Lawrence is like every other young quarterback who grew up in the past 15 years looking up to, admiring, and idolizing Tim Tebow. Well, thank you for the call. Yeah, and we'll talk to some people in Florida a little bit later. I'm really curious to get their their take. I mean, you'll flip on the TV tomorrow and there'll be somebody screaming and hollering about this or that in relation to Tim Tebow. But, I mean, Tebow understands what this is about. He's 33 years old. This is his last chance. And, you know, what he does with it is what Tim has always done with opportunities, make the best out of it. And it's ultimately Urban Meyer's decision. As close as they are, and everyone watching and listening knows how close they are, Urban Meyer doesn't own the team. He had to go to the owner of the Jaguars and make sure that everybody signed off on it, and he did. And that's why Tebow is going to be signed. Let's check out more calls here, and David is up next. Hey, David, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me. So earlier this week on ESPN, I can't remember if it was First Take or Get Up, but Ryan Clark, who I absolutely love, is what he has to say. Mm-hmm. He was asked about this TV situation, and he started by gathering his thoughts and taking a few deep breaths. And I'm going to try and paraphrase what he said. I can't remember exactly. But he was like, come on, man. People are tired of seeing this. He was in Denver. He had that one good year. And, you know, he had his chance to humble himself and go to tight end, and he refused to do that because he thought he could make it. And he went to play baseball, and he went to do broadcaster. So Ryan Clark's point was, like, this is cool, but a lot of people aren't going to care at all, and we're tired of, you know, seeing this. And for me, you know, I can't see Tebow amassing 50 catches for 500 yards and a couple of touchdowns. You know, he'll be second or third string. But, you know, he's had his chance, and I think that, you know, a few people are kind of just tired of hearing him getting his name screamed out by his lovers, and we're just tired of it. But yeah, thanks for
thank you, David,
having me on.
Listen, you know, I try to be as objective on every subject, even those with people with whom I'm close. There are 32 teams in the NFL. There's only one that would have signed Tim Tebow. It was special circumstances. Belichick in 2013 could have moved Tebow. I don't think he was ever asked. Tebow went there to play quarterback. He didn't go there to play tight end or a limited type of position. Same thing happened with Chip Kelly with the Eagles. I lived with both of those like everyone watching and listening did. But this is different. Everybody comes to a fork in their career or in their life or in their job when, you know, they have to readjust. And that's where Tebow is right now. You know, can he be an effective tight end? I've always thought he could. I know what his work ethic is. Is it worth all the conversation that we'll be having? No, but that's beside the point. Tim Tebow is one of those I ask you, all of you, this. Name someone else who could garner this much attention. And, you know, let's move Brady off the board because he's already done it. Who else could come back to an NFL club, play any position, and draw as much attention? I mean, we're 23 minutes into this program, and this has been our topic. And it's going to be the topic on shows across the country this afternoon. And if you put on TV tomorrow, whether it's NFL or ESPN, it will be discussed because that's who Tim Tebow is. And there are there are millions of people in this country who love Tim Tebow and worship everything that he represents. And there are many who don't. So that's fine. That's what makes America America. Let's get to more calls and talk to Jay, who is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Jay, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Hey, man. I got a problem. Tennessee has been my team for a long time. I've never seen a bigger mess in my whole life, Paul. What's going on? What's going to happen?
Well, Jay, not to sound like a clinician here, but when there's a problem, you have to diagnose it and then treat it and then hope the patient, or in this case, the entity, recovers. And the university made a...
What?
a decision, and now it's a matter of just riding out the rehabilitation of the Tennessee program.
Yeah, I know it.
I mean, when Bruce Feldman had a list out this week where he listed, I think it was either 40 or 50 of the transfers who have gone elsewhere, and I think two of the top five were from Tennessee. Gray, Toto, there's another one of, Tennessee has at least four or five players, high quality players that could have made a big difference this coming season, and they're gone. Now, that doesn't mean Tennessee hasn't picked up a few people. They have, but the people they picked up do not match what they've lost.
Right. I just don't see what's going to happen.
Well, Jay, I hope you're still a young man, because if you're not, it could be a long time before.
I'm 69 years old.
Well, you're still young, I don't want a 95-year-old calling in saying, "Hey, is Tennessee going to win this year?" Probably not, but you still have a lot of good football attending left in you. Yeah. So I would be patient. I know that's the worst thing, because we heard that from UT administrators. When Derek Dooley took over, when Butch took over, when Jeremy took over, and now Heupel's singing from the same hymnal. But I would love to say I feel sorry for anybody out there who is a Tennessee graduate, but I try not to feel sorry for myself. We will take a break. More of your calls at 855-242-7285. The man who started all this controversy about Mark Emmert by interviewing him the other day, Alan Blinder. We'll find out about what's behind the scenes and what the future looks like for the NCAA and NIL.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back, and we are really looking forward to talking to Alan Blinder, covers college sports for the New York Times. He's been with us many times before. He spoke late last week with the president of the NCAA, and Mark Emmert's comments have rocked the college sports world since then. Alan joins us now. Alan, thank you very much. It's always great to have you on. You've interviewed President Emmert over the years. I'm really interested in your reaction to what he said the other day, and I think the timing of it speaks for itself, but how did you react when he told you that?
Well, I think we all knew, Paul, that at some point the NCAA was going to have to make its move on name, image, and likeness. I maybe didn't quite expect him to say it in the middle of that interview, if we're being candid with you, but look, the time is nearing for these state laws to take effect. You've got five different state laws around name, image, and likeness taking effect just on July 1, and there are plenty more in the pipeline. So people knew the NCAA would have to do something at some point. They've been on essentially a pause on implementing their plan since January, but we had heard from Emmert over the course of months, things like wanting to get it done as soon as possible or shortly or whatnot. But hearing that timeline on Friday was when we talked, started to put things in more motion. There are still hurdles for the NCAA and its schools to overcome. Emmert is not the only word or the final word on how all of this will go, but the fact that he's telling the schools now that in his judgment it's time to proceed toward a vote is important.
Alan Blinder with us from the New York Times. Alan, you talked to a number of people, commissioners. We're talking to one of your subjects, Mark Richt, here in about an hour. In listening to different voices, are they all heading in the same direction?
I think people know that July 1, people have long known July 1 was going to be a big day for college sports, especially in the South. I mean, you've got a handful of southern states. At this point, you're going to have 6 of 14 SEC schools affected by these new laws on July 1. So, yeah, I think people were all heading in the direction that the college sports world was going to be disrupted starting July 1. The only real question was whether the NCAA would do anything or try to do anything before then. And we still don't have all those answers. I asked Emmert last week if the NCAA will go to court to try to stop some of these laws. There's some case history that suggests the NCAA could maybe, you know, be able to block these in the states. And he wouldn't talk about a legal strategy at this point. So, I mean, his comments to us were significant. They started to put more of a timeline on what the NCAA might or might not do. But there are still a lot of things that we're going to have to watch for over the next 2 months or so, and frankly, beyond that.
Alan, as the domino is starting to fall, exactly how and when and where, we're not sure. What do you think is based on your reporting and your intuition, is going to be next?
You know, I think everyone seems to agree that there's going to be some measure of chaos. Everyone's watching to see if Congress can get anything, put together for some kind of national standard. That's what the commissioners and the presidents and people like Mark Emmert all want to see, is a uniform coast-to-coast standard. But, you know, July 1 is coming. Congress does not work every single day. No bill has moved out of a committee, much less out of a full chamber of Congress at this point. There's a lot to do between now and then, but I think you're going to see a lot more of the pressure turned up on Congress to do something. And there are some members of Congress who have argued to me that a deadline is what gets Congress working. There are others, though, including some who very much want to see college sports legislation move through Capitol Hill, who have said, you know, there are a lot of things going on in Washington right now, and this is not going to be a top priority. So there, to some extent, there's a question of who wins that fight, of who is able to set the timeline for whatever Congress does. Because there's an emerging consensus out there that it's going to have to be Congress to settle this, not just the NCAA and not just individual states. But we'll see.
Alan, and we've seen these subcommittees in the Senate and in the House, and you know, you mentioned Greg Sankey appearing before one of them last year, but who's leading this? And I ask you that because you follow Washington politics like we all do. I mean, the parties are right now can't even, at least one is having a hard time getting along. So to ask a body of 435 people in the House and 100 in the Senate to coalesce around something that Mark Emmert wants, I agree. Who's going to lead that parade?
Well, you've got, what's interesting with this issue is that it has drawn bipartisan interest in a high-level way. You know, we've seen multiple Republicans, multiple Democrats actively involved in this. Everyone from Jerry Moran, who's a conservative Republican senator from Kansas, to Cory Booker, you know, who ran for president as a Democrat. This has drawn a lot of attention. I think part of it's, you know, because college sports and the whole culture around them are seen as maybe a less partisan, activity than everything else that's going on in Washington. And people on Capitol Hill would like to see some kind of legislative package, some kind of victory they can tell people they were involved in. So that's part of it, too. But, look, there's a lot of stuff going on, as I said, on Capitol Hill these days. And, you know, I remember talking to one senator. This was even before the pandemic, and he was saying, you know, you've got all these different things going on. You know, you've got Afghanistan, you've got an economy. I don't know. He said, this is not anyone's top priority right now. So you have to wonder where that priority, where college sports fall on the priority list right now. Is it getting higher? Sure. Is it, you know, necessarily going to be enough to have legislation through both chambers and on Joe Biden's desk by July 1? That remains to be seen.
Alan, as you gather all this up, and you've been talking about this for a long time, you have a couple of other things coming down the pike. You have this Alston ruling in the Supreme Court that you have reported on. I know there were some indications in your piece, or at least there are out there, that's one reason the NCAA has waited, not to turn you into our Supreme Court reporter, But let's do it, though. Let's say that ruling comes out mid-June, a month from now. What are the ramifications of the ruling, depending on what the ruling is?
I think it all depends, frankly, on exactly how narrowly or how broadly that ruling is written. The court showed when it held oral arguments back in March that it had significant interest in college sports, but look, I think until you put pen to paper and we see what they've done, it's hard to know with absolute certainty how much that ruling does or does not matter, because we've seen in other cases over the years, not necessarily related to college sports, that the court's questions can be indicative of where they're going, but they're not necessarily determinative of that. So I would want to see what the court's exact ruling looks like before we try to sort out left from right.
And if they do get it done, I realize we're all guessing now, but what do you think it would look like? Because there are so many people that are against this anyway, and the idea that there could be no cap on what players make, the management of it. I mean, there are just 1,000 questions, which I know you've addressed, but is there a consensus out there on how this is going to look?
You know, when I hear from more and more people, just like, you know, college sports fans in my own life, and, you know, talking to friends and family, and then every other source I talk to, you know, there is an interest in seeing what this looks like, because there is a view that you're not going to have every college athlete out there, you know, drawing millions of dollars. As the Miami athletic director told me when I was down there for the story, not everyone's going to get a shoe deal. You know, a lot of people are probably going to, you know, wind up with these kinds of arrangements that net them thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. But you're not going to see, by any means, every student athlete, you know, pulling in millions of dollars. And I think people are essentially looking to the marketplace to be something of a guardrail, and that may help.
I have to check his ear.
Anyway, for some reason, I have lost contact with Alan, but we were getting toward the end of the conversation. Anyway, we'll see if we can get him back for a second. Otherwise, we'll head to the break. Okay, we're pausing. one thing. Okay, hey, Alan, one thing I want to say before we lose you again is this. This is just a random anecdote, but I'm watching, I think, the CBS Morning News today. And you have these three people sitting at the desk, and they refer your article in the Times, which was on page one, which is significant. And it may not be significant to people in the hinterlands, but in Washington, D.C., stuff like that matters. It shows that there's gravity. And all three of the people sitting there at the table said, oh, yeah, I can't believe they're not going to get this done. These players deserve something. I bring this up because stuff like that matters to people in Congress. They're watching this stuff as well, like others are. And I just wonder if maybe, and I realize you're a little bit too close to it because you wrote the story, but just the fact that Mark Emmert gave an interview to you, it ended up on the front page of the Sunday New York Times, which is read all over the country, if not the world, but especially in Congress. I know I'm asking you kind of a weird question, but sometimes, you know, that does wag the dog, does it not?
I mean, we've obviously written a lot about this topic a lot over the years. I think we had it on the front page when Gavin Newsom signed the California's bill into law a couple years ago, back in 2019. And that was one of the moments that really started to electrify this debate, was when California became the first state to pass one of these laws. You know, but here we are approaching 2 years later. But look, there's a story that goes on the front page. You know, does that draw a lot of attention? Sure. But will it have an effect on the debate and how it goes? You know, that's for other people to decide, not me.
Yeah, I mean, it may not have much effect where you're living right now, or I'm living, or where you used to live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But in Washington, things like that do matter, even if I could offer my opinion. I realize you're the writer. Alan, thanks so much. You've done a lot of really good stuff. This one was extremely important in terms of the reaction to it, and we appreciate you making time for us. Come back soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Paul.
You got it. Alan Blinder, New York Times reporter. and really an excellent reporter. He also happens to be a University of Alabama graduate. We are going to take a break. More to come and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome you back here on a busy Monday. The new week has dawned, and it has dawned with the news of Tim Tebow reportedly heading to Jacksonville to be Urban Meyer's tight end. That story breaking about an hour ago by Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. He's the same reporter who had the story on the day of the draft. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Tom is up next in Florida. I could ever learn to hit the right button, we'd get Tom on the air. Hey, Tom,
hey,
go right
Paul.
Ahead. Hey there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Yeah, good deal. Look here, talking about Tebow, I'm a Florida Gator fan, always have been, big Florida Gator fan. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, Tebow being a Christian hurt him in the NFL. But had the Jaguars originally taken him and drafted him, I think that that franchise would have been better off. I think that a lot of people are going to buy tickets now that never would have bought tickets. I have
okay. Hey, Tom, let me ask you a question. Hold on a second. You're going to buy a ticket to watch someone watch someone play tight end?
Well, I'm doing that because of Tebow. Tebow didn't get it. He didn't get the chance that I felt like he deserved, and I felt like that. You know, when Shad Khan bought that franchise, he promised us as fans that he would do something. You know, he would look at Tebow and he would see about getting Tebow in there. And then that bunch came in there and said, no, Tebow never worked. Tebow never worked. Well, we needed to see that Tebow wouldn't work. Okay, we need to understand that Tebow wouldn't work. And I felt like he would have worked. I felt like he would have did good. Now, I think Urban Meyer will use Tebow in several different schemes. I don't think he's just going to be a tight end. I think if they need 4 or 5 yards, I think Tebow can get it, okay? So, I honestly believe that Tebow has been way underrated by the NFL. And they people can say that he was overrated in college and all that. I don't think he was. I honestly don't think he was.
So Tom, you hold on a second. I'm just going to play devil's advocate for a second. You're saying the most competitive football entity on the face of the earth has looked past him for what reason?
Because he's a Christian and he took
Hold on one second. I'll be careful how I say this because I don't want to come. But do you think any of those 32 owners care about anything about anybody other than can they help me win games?
Well, I don't think it's
seriously.
32 owners. I think Shad Khan would have drafted.
Well, but Shad Khan is one of only 30.
Fill that stadium up from
but
a business
there,
standpoint.
Hey, there's
would have filled the stadium up. It was the rest of them that didn't like that guy from Tallahassee a while ago calling you and acting like he's a big Tebow fan. He wasn't ever a Tebow fan. He came from FSU. And those Georgia fans, they ain't never been a Tebow fan.
Well, hey, I've got to run, but I mean, I'm serious. I've got to ask this question, though, and it sounds like 2010 all over again, but how many of you believe that the owners of the NFL teams, 32 all 32, including Jerry Jones, would not draft Tebow because he is a Christian? We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.